Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let me reread that last part there. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, we've heard this message or this verse here used in a lot of messages that are preached about the great cloud of witnesses that are before us. And there's a song, Salt Pillar. We've probably all seen that, and we've heard a lot of messages about that. But what I want to talk to you guys about for just a few minutes this morning, we've got about 20, or this afternoon, we've got about 20 minutes here, is the weights that so easily beset us. Most of us have heard of the sins that so easily beset us. We've talked about the sins, and I'm sure every one of us here could name a lot of the sins, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal and kill, covet, and so on, and commit adultery. But what I want to talk about this afternoon is the things that we might not see as sins, but yet still become sin to us. They still become weights. They still become distractions. If I was going to title this afternoon, it would be distractions. And I looked up the word here, beset, in the dictionary. The word beset simply means to surround or to press on all sides so as to perplex, to entangle, so as to render escape difficult or impossible. And what I want you guys to focus on here for a few minutes is the things that we do on a daily basis that aren't necessarily bad, but that keep us from doing what's good. The things that take place of prayer, the things that take place of Bible reading, the things that take place of going to church, they may not be bad or evil in themselves, but they are besetting you because they're distracting you from doing what is more important and what's right. Now, I need a helper real quick, a good, strong man. Brother Zach. All right. I forgot I said strong. I'm just kidding. All right, Brother Zach, you like to go swimming? Yeah. All right. You pretty good swimmer?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brother Zach likes to swim. How many likes to swim? All right. Now, is swimming dangerous? A little bit, right? You can drown in water. But if you're trained and you know how to do it, it really can be something that you can do and not die in, right? We've all gone swimming. All right. Now, what about other things? You like to lift weights? Sometimes you benched, okay. Is casual bench pressing, is that a dangerous sport?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you're lifting a few weights, just maybe 150 pounds or so, it's not really something that we would consider life-threatening. Now, would you consider bench pressing life-threatening? Not really. Now, what about skydiving? All right, no. Now, I have jumped out of an airplane on purpose 3 different times, and I can tell you that's very dangerous. That is life-threatening, all right? If you don't do it right, you will definitely die and not live to tell about it. Okay, but the first two things, though, swimming, that's not really something that we consider life-threatening, all right, for the most part. Unless you're drowning, then obviously it is. And speaking of which, I learned how to swim the way I learned pretty much everything else in life, and that's the hard way. I was on a Royal Ranger camp out one time. I'm gonna get to you here in a second. And my counselors, the Royal Ranger leaders, they knew I couldn't swim, and I was kind of being a chicken, and they just kind of tossed me out in the river. And I found out I swam real good on the bottom of the river. I was kind of like a turtle. I could swim real good and just come up for air every once in a while. But I learned how to swim the hard way. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. But what if I were to get this weight, put that around your hand? You think that's dangerous to walk around with that? Just like that. What if I tell them, I want you to go to school, carry this weight around. Just walk around here. Is that life-threatening? Nope. You sure? Nope. You're good? 10-pound weight? You're okay with that? What if I told you I want you to climb the stairs with it? I want you to eat Go about your daily routine. Everything you do in life, I want you to carry this weight. That's not going to kill you, is it? Okay, not going to kill you? I didn't think so. Now, what would happen if I told Zach, I'm gonna have you swim across the river? Or I'm going to have you swim across the lake, and I want you to carry this 10-pound weight with you when you swim. You okay with that?
No.
Why not? But you just said that it's not life-threatening, right? You're walking around with it. Does this look dangerous, folks? It's inert. But you know what? In the right circumstance, it becomes detrimental to him. Not because there's anything wrong with this weight. He can go about for years carrying this weight around and never have one problem, but he gets in one situation where he finds himself up over his head in water, and the thing that he's carried around and become a toy to him becomes his detriment. It becomes death to him. Thank you, sir. You can sit down. Give him a hand. And I did all that to bring you to one point here this afternoon. And that's the weights that we carry around, the distractions that we carry around a lot of times, they don't seem dangerous. There's a whole lot of things, and for sake of time, we're only going to talk about a couple of them this afternoon. But these weights that we carry around, they're hard to spot because they're not some big blatant sin. It's not just screaming at us, that's dangerous, don't touch it. If he was carrying around a bottle of cyanide, I think all of us would say, hey, you need to get rid of that. That's dangerous, that's poisonous. Or if he was carrying around a big knife that was open and was running around with it, everybody here would say, hey, put that up, that's dangerous. We could see the danger. But the problem with distractions is that they are hard to see because they're not obvious. And in fact, many times, things that distract us in our walk with God, they're actually things that we would consider good things. They're good things. They're not bad. But the problem is, good becomes the enemy of best. Now, what about media? We are literally surrounded everywhere we go with media. We've got media here. We've got the screen back behind me. My notes here are on a tablet. I've been taking pictures. Everyone's got a camera or a cell phone taking pictures on. That's all forms of media. Good things, right? In the right hands. But media can become a big distraction for you if you're not careful. Everything from just wasting time to watching things that you shouldn't watch on television. And if you go to public school, how many go to public school here? All right, you're surrounded every day when you're at public school with environments that aren't Christian. And if you're not careful, you're going to look at your friends and you're going to see that they're watching things on TV and it's going to seem like it's okay because they're getting away with it. You've got friends at church, they're watching things on TV, but the pastor's preaching against them. And you say, well, God hasn't struck them dead, so it must not be all that bad. Or I've seen so-and-so speak in tongues and they're watching R-rated movies, so maybe what pastor's saying about R-rated movies, it must not be quite as important as he says it is. And then you realize that you have friends that are looking at pornographic images and they're cursing and they're doing all kinds of things, drinking, they're doing things that just seems like it's outright a sin, but yet they come to church and they shout and pray and speak in tongues and the whole nine yards. And it seems like, well, maybe God isn't looking down on that quite as hard as what the preacher says he is. And it becomes easy to become distracted by things. Going back here to media, though, and movies. It's hard to even watch a movie nowadays that's worth watching. If you go to the Blockbuster, wherever they rent movies, there's not hardly anything in there that a Christian should be able to pick up and take home and watch, because there's almost nothing on anymore that's good to watch. The gore and violence, cursing, immorality, TV shows. I hear guys all the time talking about the TV shows that they watch. Guys at work that claim to be Christians, born-again believers, and they're talking about watching the TV programs such as, I'm trying to think what they are now. I don't have TV. No, it's the zombie movie. What's Walking Dead? The Walking Dead. That's not a good movie. That's not a good series to watch. Big Bang Theory, all these that are out there, they promote gore. They promote immorality, promiscuity. They don't do anything good for you in your walk with God. Now, are those things in themselves a sin? Well, that's up for debate. I haven't watched them, so I couldn't tell you honestly exactly, you know, what all's in them. But I can tell you this one thing, that if you start walking down a road watching things that you shouldn't, it'll take you to a place you shouldn't be. Now, do you understand? If you get on a path and it says 100 miles and it gives it the town. When we were coming here to Lufkin, we live in Corpus Christi, so it was several hours, about 6.5 hours up here. And ever so often, once we started getting close to Lufkin, we started seeing signs that said Lufkin, 100 miles away. Lufkin, 60 miles away. And it got closer and closer. And before you knew it, we were here in Lufkin. Now, there are warning signs in your walk with the Lord that you have to look for. And when you look up there and you see the path that it's leading you down, and it says promiscuity, it says cursing, it says drinking, it says smoking, drugs, you have to take those as warning signs and say, these are distracting me from what God wants me to be doing. Last year, we talked about video games. Video games aren't in themselves bad. There's nothing sinful about sitting down with a console in your hand and watching Mario jump from platform to platform. And if that was a sin, I'd be in trouble because I played my share of video games. I'm not going to go into the whole thing we talked about last year with the video games, but video games can be a distraction to you. A lot of games nowadays aren't worth playing. They've got all kinds of just rotten things in them. The gore in modern day video games is sickening. And unfortunately, we've become desensitized because of the media that we watch on the TV, the videos that we watch, the games that we play have literally desensitized this generation of people of the gore that's in them. Last year, we talked about music as well. Brother Andrew Goodwin did such a fine job talking about music and the dangers of secular and even so-called Christian music. But music can become a distraction to you. How so? How can music become a distraction? You say, well, I'm not participating in anything. But the problem with music is that it is a window to your soul. The things that you listen to become part of your mind. And they get stuck in your head. Have you ever had a song stuck in your head before and couldn't get it out? We've all had songs stuck in our head before like that. But a lot of music that's not Christian promotes promiscuity. Country and Western music. Every other song is a beer drinking song. Talking about someone else's wife or the dog getting run over, whatever it is. It doesn't promote godliness. Now you say, well, there's some country songs that are good. Well, you know what? There's more country songs that are bad than there are country songs that are good, though. Well, I bought that CD because that last song they play on there is a gospel song. But what about the 13 songs before it? Now, when I was y'all's age, I struggled with music. And I remember when I went out, and I think I've shared this story here before, I went out and bought a CD, and it wasn't a Christian CD. It was the first CD I'd ever purchased that was secular music. And I bought it because there was one song on there that was a good song. Quote, unquote, good song. And I had to hide it because I was shopping with my sister, so I went and I paid for it in the back, and I put it in the Walmart bag, and I just kept it real close to me, and I walked out, and I didn't get out the door. My oldest sister, Christy, said, Darren, what'd you buy? Oh, well, a CD. Well, which CD did you buy? Oh, just a CD, just got some music on it. And I got caught before I ever walked out of the Walmart with that CD. But I went ahead and took it home, and I don't know if Christy told on me or not, but I took it home and I put it in my CD player with my headphones on so no one else could hear because I knew I'd get in trouble for it. And I began to listen to those songs, and they weren't even bad songs for the most part. But the very last track I never will forget was a song called Paint It Black. And I don't even know who the original author was of that song. I think it was a song back before my time. But it was a remix of that song, and it didn't even have anything to do with the rest of the album. It was just totally a random song for that CD. And as I listened to the words of that song, and it was talking about everything she saw was being painted black, and the very ending talked about how basically their own soul, their own self was being turned black. I don't know how all the words went to it. But when I heard that song, the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon me so strongly, and I realized that that CD was something that I didn't need to have. And I realized that was a distraction to me. And I realized that God has something a lot greater for me than a CD which is talking about a boyfriend or a girlfriend or love, something that just made me feel good because I was sad and lonely, didn't have a whole lot of friends at that time. I realized that God had something a lot greater for me than that when what the world had to offer. And I realized that listening to a song that promoted worldliness was only going to make me worldly. Listening to something that was only full of promiscuity was only going to make me promiscuous. Listening to a song which promoted things that weren't godly was only going to make things ungodly that were going to be raised up in me. And God convicted me, and I fell on my face before God and began to cry out to Him and say, "Lord, forgive me." Now, I hadn't done some great sin. I hadn't gone out and killed anybody. I didn't go out and lie and rob the bank. I didn't go out and commit any kind of moral sins. But it was something that was starting in me, and the Lord convicted me of it, and I had to repent of it because God had something better for me. And what I want to leave with you this morning, because this afternoon, we're out of time already here, but I want to leave with you something I hope you remember when you leave this place out of everything I've said, and that's don't allow good things to become the enemy of best. You might say, well, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Well, it might not be necessarily sinfully wrong, but is it really God's best for you? That girl that you're looking at and want to date, young men, is that really God's best for you, or does God have something better? Young ladies, the young man that you've got your eyes set on and you've looked at your phone every few minutes to make sure he hasn't texted you back, is that really God's best for you? Is that what God has in store for you? He might be a good guy. Guys, she might be a good girl, but have you really prayed and sought the mind of God? Have you fasted on it? Have you really made sure that it was God's best for you? So that it doesn't become a distraction. In Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." We've all heard that verse many times, I'm sure. And I encourage you, as I did last year, to take this verse and print it out. Make it the background of your phone. Make it the background of your computer screen. When you're tempted to go look at something you shouldn't, just remember Philippians 4:8. Put it on your game console. Before you put a game in there, make sure it lines up with Philippians 4:8. The friends that you have, the things that you do, the things that you call entertainment. But verse 9 here, I want to read this real quickly. It says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." And as you leave this place this afternoon, each one of you here have heard the word of God preached. You've heard it taught. I'm sure each one of us here come from a church where the word of God is preached as it should be. Now, what matters, young people, isn't what I do. But what matters for you is what you do. And I challenge you this morning or this afternoon as you leave to do exactly what Philippians 4 and 9 says, and that is that you've heard them, you've received them, you've learned them. Now it's time for you to go do them. Do what you've learned. If we all could stand as we close. As a youth pastor, one of the most frustrating things that I ever come across over and over again in my nearly 10 years as youth pastor is that I can't live for God for my youth. And when I see a young person that's struggling, and I see a young man or a young lady that's starting to walk down the wrong path, and they're becoming distracted by things around them, and they're starting to listen to the wrong kind of music, and they're watching movies they shouldn't be watching, they're going to the theaters and watching things that they shouldn't be watching and participating in activities that they know that they shouldn't be participating in as Christians. And I go to them and I warn them and I tell them, what you're doing isn't necessarily a sin, but it's taking you down the wrong path. And I begin to warn them that they're going down the wrong path. And a few weeks later and a few months later, I look back at their lives and I see them gradually growing colder and colder in their walk with God. And I can only stand there warning them. But yet it grieves me and it breaks my heart that I can't live for God for them. And young people, I can't live for God for you. Your pastor cannot live for God for you. The lifestyle that your mama or that your daddy lived, if they were a Christian, that they can't live for God for you. Your brother or your sister, your best friends, they can't make you choose to do right. Only you have the opportunity and the power to choose for yourself what you'll do. And as Joshua said, choose you this day who you'll serve. At the end, he said, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you're here this afternoon, and you just want to say, Brother Darren, I don't want to be distracted by anything that would keep me from walking with the Lord. I just want you right there where you're at, just lift up your hand and say, Brother Darren, that's me. I don't want to be distracted by anything. Amen. I don't want to be distracted, whether it's some blatant sin or just something that the Lord has something better for me. I don't want to be distracted. Amen. Can we just pray this afternoon and ask the Lord to give us strength? Would you all just pray with me right here before we're dismissed? Lord, I pray you would touch each one of us here this afternoon in this building. I pray, God, that you would captivate the hearts and lives of our young people. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't be distracted by the things that are around them, the media, the social media, all the things that are around us, Lord, each and every day that would cause us to walk down the wrong path and cause us to do wrong. I pray, God, that you would give each one of us strength as we go out from this place here in just a few days when we go back home to our home environments where our families might not be saved, our friends might not be saved, and as school starts up here in just a few weeks, Lord, I pray you would give each one of these young people here strength to do what's right in the face of adversity when temptations come their way. I pray, God, that you would give them strength to always stand for what's right. And as Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Appreciate your attention this afternoon.